Hello, Pac-Man. What's going on?
I'm doing great, Pat. Now I feel like I have to do that every time you introduce me. I love it.
That was outstanding. For a second, I thought it was Will playing it. So that was very, that was well done.
No. It's just me acting like an idiot.
Hey, it works well, though. You're in good company with a bunch of other idiots on this program. What's going on in your neck of the woods today?
Doing great, man. We got a little college football tonight. Unfortunately, with this hurricane approaching, they're moving up games. So we were supposed to have this Boston College game at 7:30 Eastern. Instead, they're moving it up. So we got pregame at 5 Eastern and then 5:30. But at least they're getting the game in, which is a good thing. It's unfortunate, obviously, but there's many more important things than sports. But on a sports level, this game's being wiped away, of course, because they're really fearful what's going to happen. So it's all hands on deck right now, as I say.
Yeah, and I know that a lot of people on the Eastern Seaboard are bracing for that. I know it's been downgraded, but it's hurricane season for sure. But certainly one of those things in the eastern side of the United States where everybody's on. I don't think where we are in Calgary, we really have any type of semblance of an idea of what it's like right now. Everybody's just kind of bracing for the worst right now.
Yeah, and I think that is the right approach, though, Pat. Like, I know some people are like, oh, it's never going to be that bad. Sometimes these meteorologists get it wrong, and I'm like, really? Like, I can just go ahead and show you natural disaster for natural disaster. Like, it's like an old axiom of life. This is true of everything. I mean, prepare with the weather. Just prepare for the worst, hope for the best. It's the guys who are not ready to go who end up getting flipped over the wrong way. So I'm with you, man. I think you pray everything, like I said, downgrade already. Let's hope it's not as bad as feared, and we'll get through this.
Okay. Well, let's get right into it, because lots to get to on the Major League Baseball front, a couple of college football things I want to bounce off you as well. But you tweeted it out last night. Red Sox beat the Blue Jays 1-0. Boston gets to 100 wins of the fastest team in 19 years to get to 100 wins. Last time that somebody got there this quickly was the 0-1 Seattle Mariners. We've talked about this Red Sox team seemingly all year. They're just at another level. This regular season has been the Boston Red Sox and everybody else.
And here's the craziest part of it, Pat. And by the way, after I tweeted that, I get so many people go, how did that work out for the Mariners? I'm like, yeah, the point is that no one's done it in like you said, 17 years. Not that, hey, last time they do it, fell on their face, 116 win Seattle Mariners. The point is these guys are loaded. And I think what's scary, ad nauseum about, I think Mookie Betts is the MVP, but J.D. Martinez is top five for sure, even though I know the defense and the DH argument, et cetera. Chris Sale had been injured, which was concerning, but came back through an inning, and hopefully he'll be okay. Here is what's crazy. Dave, nobody is aware of, has been like the best pitcher in baseball in the second half. He's got a 2.04 ERA in his last nine starts. Maybe a start after the All-Star break. Maybe exactly as July 23rd. And last night against the Jays, well, so we know the Jays are long been out of it, but I mean, just completely effortless, mowing them down. And you say to yourself, okay, all you really need at this point, Pat, is just a couple of starters. So if you go Sale and Price with that offense, a little bit of concern about the bullpen, just getting to Kimbrel. Even Kimbrel hasn't been lights out. But honestly, that's a relatively minor concern because they rake and because they have those two guys there. Of all the unlikely aspects of this Red Sox juggernaut, it's that David Price is back to being David Price. Now, of course, deep breath. Maybe he'll muck it up in the playoffs. That's still something he has to overcome, absolutely. But honestly, if you're the A's, if you're the Yankees, if you're the Indians, if you're the Astros, you're going, oh, no. If he goes back to being a Cy Young winner, and we got to deal with him and Sale, two dynamic lefties back-to-back, good luck with that.
Well, so how close could a series, because at some point, you know, the Red Sox are going to play two of those teams we just mentioned. So Houston and New York, Oakland, Cleveland, like how close are we talking about in a playoff series? How close could this end up being for the Red Sox?
Well, I think of those teams, I think the Yankees, by the way, are in the most trouble right now. My buddy Aaron Boone even said last after the game, like, we got to get going here because they're in danger of giving up home field advantage that wild card game to the A's, which could you imagine? The Yankees look like the second best team in baseball, not listening, they're going to have to go to the O.co and try to win a wild card game. Well, the A's down a couple starters now. Sean Manaea is done, and Trevor Cahill is injured as well, so that is concerning. But I don't think the A's have enough to match up with Boston in terms of their pitching. Indians, obviously great starters, but their bullpen's been a real mess, the Andrew Miller injuries and the rest of it. Although, good to see Josh Donaldson playing last night. And Jose Ramirez is amazing. But honestly, Pat, the one team that's really going to challenge is the Astros. Now, anything can happen. We know that in baseball, but I'd be hard-pressed right now talking to you and not picturing A's, Red Sox, ALCS, and it goes 6 or 7. Right? Anything can happen, but that's what I feel like is the matchup. And if the Astros were to win that series, it wouldn't be shocking. I mean, they won the World Series a year ago.
Yeah.
But something would have to happen drastically wrong for Boston. Like, their offense just immediately goes silent, which has not happened for more than, like, 2 or 3 games this year. You know, one of Sale or Price really falls apart, or Kimbrel has a meltdown. Like, it would have to be something that is so far from the radar right now that you couldn't account for it.
You mentioned the Yankees. All of a sudden, they are in trouble. The A's have won 6 in a row. They're right hot on the tails of the Yankees. I know we talked about this last week, but just for a second, like there's a real chance Oakland could be hosting this wild card game, and then all of a sudden you throw that into the conversation with that crazy crowd in the postseason in Oakland. Like this is all of a sudden a real possibility now.
Yeah, we've talked before about that Oakland crowd. That's a perfect description. They're crazy. The black hole with the Raiders. It's like, they're fairly small. We all know that the stadium's a dump. It might be the worst in baseball along with the Trop. But it's a loyal but enthusiastic following. And for a one-car playoff, of course, they could sell out. You get every crazy person in the Bay Area there going nuts. And that's just not a fun place to play. I'd have to check the numbers of the Yankees that played at Oakland, but I don't think it's been particularly good. And as I mentioned, Severino, who's been a real disappointment in the second half, did pitch well last night. It was crazy. Aaron Boone's trying to get him out of the game, and Severino shook him off. He was trying to argue with him on the mail, like, no. For God's sakes, Booney, I finally had a good start. Let me stay in this thing. But he pulled him after 5 2/3 scoreless innings, and he did pitch well. Although, of course, they got their face in Jake Odorizzi for the Twins and a no-hitter in the 8th. So Yankees couldn't pick up a win last night. But, yeah, before it felt like, Pat, well, it could never be the ALCS, because even if the Yankees beat the A's, they're then facing the Red Sox. So that's your ALDS, which would be a ton of fun on paper, a 5-game series of those two teams. But I don't think it's a formality that the Yankees beat the A's, certainly not now, and certainly not at its own field, because that team just mashes. I mean, Chris Davis is an absolute monster. And, Pat, I could already picture it right now in the Bronx. Severino, cold start. Matt Chapman hits a home run just over the right field wall. All of a sudden, the crowd's furious. The Yankees, a quick 2-0 A's lead. Chris Davis goes deep, and then their bullpen is lock it down. Two best relievers in baseball. One of them has been Blake Treinen of the Oakland Athletics. Guy has been lights out. And if the A's get a lead, I don't care who they're playing, they're going to lock it down. So you can already see how Oakland, the blueprint, how they could beat the Yankees.
One more on the majors. Dodgers going to find a way in? They're 2 games back of a wild card right now. Are they going to find their way into the postseason picture?
I don't think they get the wild card. My belief, now that the Phillies have faded, so we got the Braves in the East, we got that. Brewers hung tough with the Cubbies, and so that could go down the wire. I got both those teams making the playoffs. I do think the Cubs win the Central. But I think Milwaukee makes it. So I think the other wildcard team right now, and they do have a tough schedule down the stretch, I took a look at it, is the Cardinals. So I'm going 3 teams from the Central, meaning that if the Dodgers make it, they got to win the West. I don't think 2 teams in the West make it. I think the D-backs have slipped a little bit, which means it's L.A. or Colorado. And Trevor Story has been a great story for the Rockies. Could be the MVP. He's been amazing. Set the new record for a single season home runs. His home road splits are ridiculous. So clearly he's benefited by being at Coors. But he is somebody who deserves recognition if the Rockies win the division. But I will rely on glory and tradition and their massive payroll, Pat, and the fact they've made the World Series last year, and say the Dodgers win the West and Colorado just misses it.
Okay. With Adnan Virk, our Major League Baseball insider from ESPN, and a whole lot more. He's also the host of all kinds of college football on ESPN south of the border as well. So you are getting ready for a game tonight. Is that right?
That's right. We got Boston College in our air tonight. A.J. Dillon, really good running back. He's the best reason to watch this game tonight.
So I got to ask you about a couple of the other matchups this coming weekend, because we do have 2 ranked matchups. This is the final game without Urban Meyer at Ohio State. They take on TCU in a big matchup. Like, I know Ohio State's favored, and they're probably going to win this game, but that's not a guarantee. And I'm really curious. The first test for Ohio State without Urban Meyer, their first 2 games have not been what you would call overly difficult opponents.
Without question, Pat, those first 2 teams have been weaklings, and TCU is legit. And of all the teams in the Big 12, a conference where no one really plays defense, the Horned Frogs are the one team that does, and they bring it. And Gary Patterson's an excellent coach, and he's been game planning all week. And so the one compelling matchup with this game that everybody wants to see is Ohio State offense versus TCU defense. Now, I don't think TCU has enough offense versus the Ohio State defense to win this game, but Do I think they can hang around? Yes. Do I think they can put a little bit of a scare in the Buckeyes? I do. But Dwayne Haskins is the new quarterback for the Buckeyes, taking over for JT Barrett. He's off to a good start. They still got Mike Weber there, who's a really good running back. And I just think that's a good matchup of strength versus strength. But you're right. So far, and that was the whole issue. You knew the punishment would be completely toothless if it had been a two-game suspension. Because you'd say, okay, well, those two games are wins anyway. It doesn't matter if Urban Meyer ever coached a team. You know, you and me could coach that team to wins. But the TCU one, when they gave him the 3 games, they go, okay, well, that's a legit game. Because if you lose this game, then all of a sudden, to make the playoff, you can lose one, but you can't lose two. And this is where we could feel the impact of Urban Meyer if it's 24 all late in the fourth, and a savvy coach like him would try to find a way, whereas Coach Ryan Day doesn't have the arsenal. So that's where it's interesting. So I think, as I said, TCU's offense just isn't strong enough, so I don't think it's going to be that close a game. But it's a compelling matchup, and if you're an Iowa State hater, this is your best bet to see an upset here from TCU.
Now, I want to ask you about this game first, and then I've got a good story that involves me and Mr. Will Nault to tell you after it. But the other game, including two ranked opponents, has Boise State and Oklahoma State in Stillwater. First of all, tell us about the game, because that looks like it should be a really exciting one. And then I got a good little story to tell you about it afterwards.
I swear to God, I want to be so quick on this answer, because I just want to hear the story. Like, if this was like dealer's choice, I'm like, well, Pat, well, screw the game detail. I want you and Nault like at a blackjack table in Stillwater, but I'll be quick. Boise State is of the non-Power Five teams is the best, which has happened in the past. I think that still is incredibly unlikely they would ever be able to crash the playoff because their competition is so weak. Oklahoma State, Mason Rudolph was the quarterback, and James Washington, the receiver. They had great chemistry from the season ago. They're missing both of those guys. So Boise State, if they need to make a statement, this would be nice to be a Big 12 foe. Like Oklahoma State. That's way too much analysis before I get to your story. I want to hear the story.
Okay. So, and Will's in the room as well. So this would have been last summertime or late last fall. Anyway, we were out on a patio on 17th Avenue in Calgary. It was me. It was Will. It was our buddy who works over at the news station. And me and the buddy who works at the news station are big Boise State fans. We've been to Boise numerous times. It's enjoyable. We follow like that. That's our team. So we're like, okay. That's a huge game, BSU in Stillwater. So look, we were all multiple beverages in, and so we thought it would be a good idea to book the hotel in Stillwater and just make sure we'll book it. You don't have to pay right now. We'll book it, and we'll get it locked in. So we book it. We end up doing it. And so I want to say we revisited this about 2.5 months ago. We're like, oh, yeah, that's about a 24-hour drive to Stillwater, Oklahoma. Okay, all right, let's go take a... We went and took a look at how expensive the hotel was. It ended up being about 450 Canadian a night for the hotel. We're like, okay, wait a second. Maybe we should rethink this one. So we were all planned and ready to go, but then we pulled the chute on it.
450 Canadian? Like, was the exchange rate down like 50 cents on the dollar? Like, was that like at the real low point for the
18 cents. 18 cents.
18 cents. That's incredible, Will. Like, that's... God, like I thought about that before too. Somebody mentioned that. You know, for big games, of course, the hotels jack up the prices. Like when it's Alabama LSU, you're not getting the Holiday Inn discount rate here of $99.99. But over four is absurdity, dude. Not worth it.
Yeah.
Stillwater.
I looked at it. I was like, what? Final bill's over $1,200. What are you talking? We're there for 3 nights. That's ridiculous. And it's not the first time that's happened, because we also had a trip to Pullman, Washington to go see BSU and Wazoo. And we had to pull out on that one. And we thought, this is the best part about this. Again, we booked it when we were all crushed. And we thought that me and the other guy thought that Will just forgot. Cause I went to him like, we got to cancel this. And then Will never said anything. So we thought that Will was blackout and just forgot that we booked it. Turns out he wasn't. He just never said anything about it. Right, Willie?
Well, yeah, I was just expecting you guys to take me, but it's fine.
All right, so two big things I've recently learned about both of you guys, and I feel like we're pretty good friends. You know each other pretty well. One, everything that Pat learned about sex is through movies, like he got gay.
Yeah.
And two, when you guys get blitzed, you have terrible ideas.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to say you can't handle your booze. I don't think that's the issue. I just think you get blitzed and you go, hey, let's become astronauts and fly to the moon. Let's do this.
Not that far off, to be honest.
Like if we were to rank biggest fans of college football at 960, you guys are up there. The lowest has got to be Rhett Warner. Like,
yes.
If you could get Rhett and Boomer to talk college football, like, you got your work cut out for you, Will, in those mornings.
Oh, yeah. They couldn't name five colleges.
Forget about a Heisman candidate. Just give me a college. Can't do it.
What a beating.
Yeah, it's true, though. It's true.
And finally today, somebody on the text line, Kevin, texts in, goes, ask Adnan, you were awesome on the Dan Le Batard show this morning. Are you going to be able to get to go to the wedding?
Tell Kevin, thanks so much for listening. So there's a, Dan Lemter, of course, is a huge deal here at ESPN. He does a hysterical show. We've got a running bit here that he can't stand me. And not to reveal the curtain here for Kevin, but what happens is the producer always just calls me. They just go, hey, Mike Ryan is really funny. He's just like Nolte, he's a really funny guy. He's even better on air than he is behind the scenes, just like Will. So Mike will call me and will say, hey, do you want to come on? I'm like, yeah. So the running gag is that they just put me on and I just start talking movies. And the Le Batard gets outraged and just says, get him out of here. Get him off the show. I hate this guy, et cetera. Of course, it's all one big elaborate bit. The people who actually don't think it's a joke, to me, it's hysterical. But anyway, so Dan, they announced today, is engaged. So immediately Mike calls you because you want to call in and pretend like you want to go to the wedding. I'm like, yeah. So I called in. I said, listen, Dan, it's a glorious moment. Congrats on getting married. I cannot wait to be at the wedding. I'm great at weddings. I'm really charming. Like, I'll be great with your fiance. Like, dude, we got to make this happen. And there was a long pause. And I said, well, maybe he actually is mad. Like, the joke is now done. And he goes, honestly, I did not want the news made public that I was getting married. And now the even worse news is Adnan thinks he has a chance of being invited. And I said, chance? Like, I'm in. Like, I'd be a great MC. I'm a good dancer. I'm not going to eat too much food. And then, of course, Danielle's, get out of here. Get out of here. Just starts screaming. So I'll figure out a way. The wedding is not till late next year, South Beach, which, if I play my cards right, that could be right around the Orange Bowl. So I could get a work trip out of it, not even pay for it, and just show up at Dan's wedding. Could be amazing. And by the way, the best part of his wedding, which he did not want to get disclosed, and this is one you can tell when a guy gets, I'm sure you guys are friends like this, date younger girls. Dan is awesome, but he's also 49 years old. His fiance is 29.
Good for him. Well done. So he did not, yeah, he did not want that out there either, hey?
No, Pat, it's one of those paths that you like. I had the same reaction. He's like, hey, man, wow, way to go. But I could see his reaction. Everything else was fine. Once they're like, ah, his fiance is 20 years younger than him. I'm like, whoa. It's like a mic drop right away.
I also heard you're spoiling 80-year-old movies on your podcast. What's the matter with you?
Oh, it's so funny, Will. So Vertigo is one of my favorite movies. It's an Alfred Hitchcock film. Came out in 1958. It's 60 years old. And so on the pod, I was just talking about Cinephile, how much I love that movie. And I did not, by the way, give away the last scene, but I gave away most of the plot. Like, I'm literally going through it. And then this guy tweeted, goes, are you kidding? He goes, normally I'm a big fan of yours, but what you did was selfish and brutal, and I can't believe you gave away the ending. So it's been 60 years. Do you really need a spoiler alert on a movie that's 60 years ago? Which led to a very entertaining chain. Ben Mankiewicz, who's the best, he's the host on TCM, Turner Classic Movies. He then tweeted to the guy, hey, dude, it's a sled. Of course, referring to Rosebud and Citizen Kane. And then everyone else starts tweeting, hey, by the way, Michael killed Fredo. Darth Vader's his dad. Like, all the crying game, the man's a woman. Like, all the great Kaiser Soze's, Kevin Spacey. Like, every great spoiler, people just started tweeting it. It was awesome.
And then text line, one more from the text line. I don't know where you're at with horror movies, Adnan, but somebody wants to know your thoughts and if they should go see The Nun.
Yeah, The Nun is making crazy box office, Will. It's not up my foray. I'm not a big horror guy. As I told you guys, I was reluctant to see A Quiet Place, but it's great, and I'm happy I did. Although that was horror, more suspense. Hereditary is a big horror movie that came out this year, and I saw, again, reluctantly, and I didn't like it. I said, I don't like horror movies particularly. I don't want to be scared. I don't want to be miserable. I don't want to be frightened to sleep. And I didn't even think that one was as scary as possible. So The Nun is one that if you're a horror movie person, you got to see it. But honestly, I don't need the Nilly Willies myself.
Nope, I'm with you. I've got no need to be awake for 7 days in a row. So no horror movies for this guy. Good stuff, buddy. We'll talk again on Thursday. As always, Adnan, outstanding stuff.
Appreciate you, fellas. I can't wait to talk to you again. I
you're the best. Adnan Virk from ESPN joining us on the program this afternoon, every Thursday, as part of Pinder and Steinberg on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.